Hello, Ramblers and Gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing. Find me on IG at Rambling and Gambling and email me ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. If you listened last week, gotta say, you got an awesome pick from our guest Rufus Peabody. He said his favorite play of the week was the Lions going up against the Cards. At the time, the Lions were 111-1, the Cards 10-3, and sure enough, the Lions won straight up. Nice pick, Rufus. I also, not to toot my own horn, I also nailed another one in a long shot or lock, three in a row now. Last week's was a Steelers-Niners tease. We'll see if we can keep it going this week. On to today's guest. You may remember a couple episodes ago, I asked if people wanted more NBA. Resoundingly, overwhelmingly, people said yes. So we're doing an NBA Christmas Day preview with a little bit of football mixed in. I have the perfect guest for it, Raheem Palmer, a personal favorite, a guy I consider to be a friend, and also a guy who, quite frankly, is bailing me out this week. You're about to hear why. He's a writer and podcaster for the Action Network, a great Twitter follow. Here he is, Raheem Palmer. Raheem, you know, normally I like to get right into it, but today, gotta let everybody know how good of a dude you are. Basically, I tentatively had somebody else booked for this episode. Didn't work out. Good reason, no hard feelings, but I was in a bind. Raheem, very first call, asked if he could do the pod on short notice. Not a small ask, because Raheem actually does prep for this. I know that for a fact. 2 seconds flat. Raheem, you say yes. You are still the only guy to have ever appeared on this podcast multiple times, and nobody else has even done it twice. This is your third time. Total fan favorite. I always get great feedback when you come on. First ballot, Rambling and Gambling Pod Hall of Famer. I appreciate you, man. I really do.
No, I appreciate coming on. I always have a great time. Hopefully we can give out some winners today and, you know, tell some good stories and give out some good advice.
Always, always. Well, let's do some NBA. Before we get to a few of these Christmas Day matchups, I want to start with a quick round of big picture questions. And unfortunately, I think we kind of have to start with COVID. Guys are dropping left and right. Who knows where this is all headed? From a gambling perspective, Raheem, have you adjusted how you are betting on the NBA? For instance, are you waiting until later in the day to bet just in case somebody ends up in protocols, that type of thing?
I'm going to be honest. I still bet in the morning. I like to bet in the morning just because that's when the market's open. And if you're waiting till later on in the day, a lot of times you're going to miss a lot of that value. So if we're looking at the board tonight, for instance, you look at the Phoenix Suns, that line, they're playing the Lakers. That line opened 218. It's now all the way up to 223, 224 in some spots. So if you're waiting till later on in the day, a lot of that value is going to be gone. So you still want to move early. I think the one good thing about a lot of the COVID news is that you're getting it in the morning. So if you're betting the night before, you're probably going to not find out that a guy is on the protocol until to the day after. But in the morning, you kind of get most of the news. You hear about the questionables, the probables. So I'm still waiting in the morning, but I still, like, as I said before, I think you want to operate in shifts. So you want to catch it in the morning. You want to come back mid-afternoon and you'll get like finalized rosters.
Do you know of anybody who is making money off of all this COVID uncertainty? I don't know if that's somebody who's found a way to account for COVID and statistical models, or maybe I'm just making this up here. Maybe somebody's figured out that guys are 15% worse for the first 2 weeks after they come back from COVID. Anything like that?
I haven't heard anything like that, but I think when it comes to COVID, what we're seeing right now, you have 25% of the NBA who's in the COVID protocol. So it's gotten to the point now where you essentially have to scout some of these G League players who are coming onto the rosters and trying to figure out what their values are worth. And obviously you have some of these guys who, look, everybody's looking for to move up in their jobs, no matter what, where you're working at, whether you're a newscaster, whether you're a basketball player, whether you're a writer, you're looking to move up. So some of these guys are getting opportunities to play in the NBA for the first time, and you're seeing them really ball out. Like the other night, for instance, the Magic played the Nets. The Magic had about, I think the Magic had 8 players, the Nets had 9. And you saw some of those Magic guys really show out. So it's like, I'm still approaching COVID from the perspective of what are these backup players' values worth? Also, I'm looking at scheduling spots. So in that Magic and Nets game that I mentioned on Saturday night, the Magic actually won outright as 6-point underdogs. The night before, the Nets actually played. So they're on a back-to-back, but they're shorthanded. So you saw them shorthanded on a back-to-back. They don't have many players, so that just puts them in a bad spot. So you want to look at some of those situational spots. How many guys do they have on their roster? Are they playing three games or four nights? Are they playing back-to-backs? And you're kind of approaching angles like that.
I realize it's a small sample size since things have gotten really crazy with COVID in the NBA. How are you doing betting-wise since the craziness really picked up?
I'm actually probably doing a little bit better now. Like I think I started off the season, like the first couple of weeks of the season, I probably had the roughest stretch of my life as far as NBA. But the last week or so, I've been doing really well. So, I can't complain.
COVID notwithstanding, what's been the biggest surprise of the NBA season for you so far?
I'm going to say, like, it's crazy as it sounds, I'm going to say the Golden State Warriors. I didn't expect them to do this. Like, I expected them to be good, but I didn't expect this team to be as good as they are. They're 25-6 right now. This is probably one of the best defenses we've seen in the Warriors era. They're allowing just 102 points per one of possessions in their 9 garbage time minutes. And this team is a legitimate championship contender. So I think that's one of the biggest surprises for me. I just didn't see that coming.
They've got Klay coming back too. Do you think that team is a contender to make a big move at the deadline?
I don't know if they're going to make a big move because I think obviously they have Klay coming back. I think you got Wiseman, who's probably going to come back at some point. I don't think they're going to trade him. It just seems like this is a sharp front office that's willing to build for the future while still maintaining with their core that they have now. So I don't know if they're going to be making a move. And I think it's kind of complicated now with all the COVID stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Of these five teams, including the Warriors, who do you think is most likely to win it all? These are the top five odds-wise, by the way, in order. Nets, Warriors, Bucks, Suns, Lakers. Who's most likely to win it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's the Bucks. And this is probably a minority opinion, but when I look at the Brooklyn Nets, to me, I still don't trust their defense. I know when you look at their defensive metrics, they're 6th in defensive rating, but I don't really trust them. Like right now, KD is having to play so many minutes that it's really tough. Like KD has to carry the team in the manner that he does. And Hart is not the same guy. Kyrie's just a part-time player. There's just a lot of question marks surrounding them. When I look at the Warriors, obviously they're a legitimate championship contender, but I still worry about the offense. And when you see, and we've seen in the past, when the playoffs start, they start to trap and double Steph Curry. And you need other guys to be able to create shots. And that's why they brought Kevin Durant in, because he kind of was the guy who could kind of bust up those switches. They don't necessarily have that. Now, I love Klay Thompson. They have good players, good role players like Jordan Poole, and they have Andrew Wiggins. But do you really want to be relying on them when it matters? So they're a great team, but they're not unbeatable in the ways that they were in 2015 and 2016. When I look at the Suns, I think they're a great team, but Chris Paul's getting a little bit older. I think they're a solid team. I think them and the Warriors are probably the best two teams in the West. And then the Lakers, I think the Lakers, they're not a championship contender whatsoever at all. So
we're going to talk more about the Lakers in a minute, and we're going to talk about making the playoffs, not a championship, making the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's where the Lakers at.
Yes, I mean, the Bucks, to me, they're a championship contender. Obviously, they haven't been healthy the entire year. Giannis is still, to me, Giannis is probably top two players in the league, in my opinion. And once they get everybody healthy, we all know that they're going to make a push. So I think until somebody snatches it away from them, you got to give them the credit.
Of the following players, who is most likely to be traded this season? Ben Simmons, Kyrie, Dame, Bradley Beal.
Kyrie's not getting traded because him and Kevin Durant are best friends forever.
You don't think maybe they're bringing him back temporarily to kind of showcase him so that maybe they could trade him if teams get a look at him, see him play a little bit?
You know, I thought that, but it's just him and Kevin. Durant's relationship is so good. Like, they're pretty much, they came to the same team to play with each other. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Kevin Durant's going to let that go down. Bradley Beal, I could see it happening. But I think Dame is just tough because he's so loyal. I think Simmons is going to get traded at some point. It's just a matter of time. And maybe it'll be one of these guys. Maybe it'll be a Bradley Beal or a Dame if they get disgruntled. But I think Simmons has to go because, and I'm not just saying this because I'm from Philly, but you're wasting Embiid's prime. And I think they realize that.
As a Philly fan, who would you be okay with them getting in return, realistically? Because, you know, obviously you're going to be, you'd be fine, I'm sure, with getting Dame back. Probably fine with Beal back. But it looks like that may be tough, especially at this point. Who would you be okay? Who's kind of like the bottom guy that you would be okay getting back as a Philly fan?
This is really tough. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm struggling with it myself. Like, there was periods of time where it was just like, there was a rumor that, you know, maybe they trade for CJ, but I don't think that makes them better. I think that just puts them, they're able to score a little bit better, but Simmons provides so much defensively through ball handling. I don't know if you're going to be able to get equal value for him. It's tough. Like, I honestly don't know. I think Morey's just going to wait this out until he gets another disgruntled star and see what happens.
Would you be cool with like a De'Aaron Fox Buddy Hield package?
Actually, I would be cool with that. That's something I would be. I would actually like that one. I would definitely be cool with that.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's go on to Christmas Day here, man. I love Christmas Day NBA. We're going to hit three games. This is going to be tough because it's still early for the lines. We're recording this Tuesday. The games are Saturday. Also, just like we were talking about at this point, we really do not know who's going to be playing or who's going to be in protocol. So, Raheem, man, just take it absolutely anywhere you want to go. Let's do Nets at Lakers first. As of now, Nets 21-9, first place in the East. Kyrie coming back part-time. Harden's hurt and out of shape, and Durant looks like an MVP again. He's looked amazing. Lakers, on the other hand, they'd be in the play-in game if the season ended today. They are 16-15, and AD hurt again. Raheem, what do you think?
Okay, when I look at that game, first things first, I'm going to pull up my model for you guys just to tell you where I have these numbers at, so that'll give you like a good perspective of where they should be priced if this was – if these two teams were full strength.
Perfect, perfect.
At full strength, I have the Nets at around -2.85. So you're seeing that number right now within the market at Lakers -1, -1.5. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the Nets are just missing so many guys, and there's just no way that they're going to be able to get this many guys back from the protocol. The Lakers are missing some guys too, but I mean, the Nets, they pretty much had to sign Kyrie as a part-time player because of that. Obviously, Kyrie's not going to play in this matchup. So even if they get Durant or they get Harden back, I think you got to be looking the Lakers in this spot. I think the line tells you that.
Really, really. Yeah. And LeBron kind of showing up, big national TV day, a lot of eyeballs on this one. Go with the Lakers, huh?
Yeah, I think the line – the fact that they're making this line Lakers -1, that's telling you that the Nets aren't going to have a lot of guys back.
Where are you seeing these lines right now? Because I didn't even see any lines out for it.
They actually have them. There's lines at DraftKings, William Hill, Caesars has it up. And then there's some offshore books that have them up as well.
Well, keep throwing them out. This is helpful. But before we move on to the next one, mm-hmm. This kind of blew me away regarding the Lakers. According to 538's player-based forecast, Lakers have a 30% chance at making the playoffs. And I was like, man, that sounds really low. Is this what everybody has them at? Well, Basketball Reference gives them a 34% chance of making the playoffs. It's crazy. And actually, a quick sidebar here, I got to thank you because I bet Lakers under 52.5 wins on the season because of your recommendation. That's looking great. So I guess, you know, you take that. It's not a shock that they are underperforming that pace. But I don't think many people expected them to be at risk of missing the playoffs altogether. This is crazy.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it is really crazy. Obviously, LeBron James missed some time. Anthony Davis missed some time. So, I mean, when you consider that, it's not that shocking. LeBron James has only played 19 games this year. Anthony Davis has played 27. But I think a lot of us knew coming into the year that when you trade, they traded key rotational pieces and Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Montrezl Harrell for Russell Westbrook, who he's 33 years old. He hasn't been the most efficient player and he can't really spread the floor as a three-point shooter and he's not a good defender. So we kind of knew that this team would take a step back. So it's not that surprising. I mean, they're the seventh seed. So I don't know if they're going to completely miss the playoffs. I think they're going to be they're a fringe playoff contender, play-in game candidate.
Golden State at Phoenix. I love this matchup. The teams are 1-1 going up against each other so far this year. They're the top two teams in the West. Phoenix, 24-5. Warriors, Raheem, are 24-6.
Yeah, this is a really interesting matchup. We actually have Suns -3.5 for this matchup. When you look at the first game that they played, Steph Curry was actually 4 of 21, shot 19% from the field. He was 3 of 14, 21% from three-point range. It's probably one of the worst games of his career. Obviously, Mikal Bridges had him on lock. And it's tough to see that happening again. My model actually makes this game close to it's pretty much a pick 'em. So I'd be looking at Golden State, provided that everybody's healthy. But obviously, the Warriors have some guys in the protocol. Devin Booker is coming back for like the first time tonight. So it's a tough matchup. You want to make sure that Wiggins is out of the protocol, Poole is out of the protocol. So, I mean, I think full strength, I'm looking at the Warriors in this matchup.
I want to talk to you about this one because I know, I believe you have several models for who's going to win the MVP. But right now, in most places, Steph Curry is the favorite to win. In FanDuel, for instance, he's +135 to win the MVP. However, Basketball Reference has an MVP tracker, which ranks candidates based on a model built using previous voting results. They actually have Curry fourth, top three in order, Jokic, Durant, Giannis. And here's something that I thought was really interesting, digging into it a little bit more. Basketball Reference gives Joker a 31% chance at winning, and then it kind of falls off a cliff. They have Durant 17%, Giannis 14%, Curry 13%. And you can currently get Jokic at about 14-1 to win MVP. Durant, this is all FanDuel, Durant +240, Giannis +950. What do you think of these numbers? Because it's you listen to a lot of media talk about this, and it sounds like Curry for MVP is a foregone conclusion.
Look, when you look at the season that Jokic is having, he should be the MVP. Like, Jokic is absolutely carrying that team. Like, right now, Jokic is first in offensive win shares. He's first in play. He's first in player efficiency rating with 34.2. That's the greatest player efficiency rating of all time, like ever. He's first in win shares. First in win shares per 48. He's first in box plus minus. All of these advanced metrics, value over replacement, he's first in all of them, and he's carrying his team. And obviously, they don't have Jamal Murray. They've missed pretty much everybody.
Or Porter.
Yeah, without Porter, like the guys that they've missed, and for this team to be in the fifth seed, it's just like it's unreal. And he's been better than he was last year: 26 points, 11 rebounds. Well, excuse me, 13 rebounds, 7.5 assists. Like this guy. He should be the MVP if we're looking at who's the actual most valuable player to their team. But unfortunately, the precedent typically set by MVP voters is the best player on the best team. And with him being the fifth seed, that doesn't really work out too well. So if you look at historically, there's only been three players in the history of the NBA, since 1988. There's only been three players who have won the MVP award without being the first or second seed. That's Michael Jordan in 1988. That's Russell Westbrook during his triple-double MVP season. And that's Nikola Jokic last season. So you're just not going to have voters vote for a guy in the fifth seed, especially when you have like kind of more sexy names and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Like, I love Jokic, but his game's not sexy. It's not exciting. There's nothing that jumps out to you. And I think Steph Curry, to a certain extent, people kind of look at him the same because, like, when you're talking about the best players in the league, he's not physically imposing. So he doesn't necessarily get the credit of a Kevin Durant or a Giannis. So I think Jokic is suffering from that. But MVP-wise, I have two MVP models. I have one that predicts MVP win shares. And I do that because there's a different amount of voters every year. So I just wanted to have it predict what percentage of MVP win shares they would win. And then I have another model which predicts the probability that someone will win MVP. Unfortunately, these models are like kind of, and they're regression models, they're independent. So each player, it's not gonna take into account the other players within the markets. Mm-hmm. So I actually have Kevin Durant first in predicted MVP win shares, and I have him first in predicted MVP probability. I think the thing my model accounts for that Basketball Reference model doesn't account for is that I put a high emphasis on seed. So when you look at the current seedings right now, the Brooklyn Nets are first in the Eastern Conference, whereas the Warriors are second in the Western Conference behind the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Warriors move up, my model will drastically change. And that's the only reason why Kevin Durant is ahead of Steph Curry, because I put a heavy weight on that just because of what I told you earlier about Russell Westbrook, Jokic, and Michael Jordan. You just don't see teams in the without the first or second seed winning.
Where do your models have Jokic right now?
Jokic is, wow. He's not even, it gives him like 39% of the predicted MVP win shares, but he doesn't have a high chance of winning at all based on my model.
Because they're currently a fifth seed in the West?
Yeah, because he's fifth seed in the West. And then when you look at their, I also have win percentage as well. So his win percentage, what are they? The Nuggets are 15-14. They have a 51% win percentage. So that impacts it heavily as well.
That makes sense. Yeah. Final Christmas Day game we're going to cover, and we can do this one quick. Boston in Milwaukee, Celtics sub 500 team. They're currently 15-16, ninth in the East. Bucks, defending champs, 19-13, fourth in the East. What do you got?
This is really tough again, just because obviously the Bucks are just missing a bunch of guys. And the Celtics have just been a completely inconsistent team all season long. I actually have this model at the Boston Celtics -+5.5, but I think the market has opened this up at Milwaukee -7, which kind of implies that Middleton's going to be back and they're going to be full strength, but I'm not necessarily buying that. So I'd be actually looking the Celtics in this spot. Obviously, you got Jaylen Brown back. I think it's probably a good spot for the Celtics to keep it close.
All right. Very good. Very good. And any other, we're going to come back to NBA, but I want to do a little football. Any other Christmas Day NBA you want to get out there before we move on?
I'm going to be honest. I'm big on fading this Knicks team. This Knicks team does not impress me at all. And I think I'd be looking to take the Hawks. The Knicks are laying 1.5. I think if there's a spot that I'm taking, I'm taking the Hawks.
Knicks are currently 12th in the East. They're not even sniffing the play-in games right now. 12th in the East.
Yeah, this team, I think, look, the thing about this team is they really can't defend on the level that they did last year. Last year, they were one of the best defensive teams in the league. And right now, they're 23rd in defensive rating, giving up 111 points per 100 possessions. And the offense really isn't scoring as well either, even though they've made some offensive upgrades. Obviously, Kemba's out of rotation. Fournier got added to the roster. And it really just didn't help them very much. Whereas just you look at this Hawks team, they're still third in offensive rating. And while their defense is really struggling without DeAndre Hunter, I think they could just outscore this next team.
Little NFL. Not going to do as much as usual here today. I want to get back to some NBA. And we'll do a little NFL later too. But two quick segments. One, what is your favorite NFL bet of the week? Week 15.
Okay, we're going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore Ravens over 44.5. My model makes this 46. When you look at the Baltimore Ravens, obviously, start of the year, they lost Marcus Peters, ACL injury. You lose Marlon Humphrey. This is a team with just a depleted secondary. They can't stop a nosebleed. And now you got to go up against Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, the offensive rookie of the year, and Tyler Boyd. And I just don't see them stopping him. And then, obviously, Tyler Huntley has just proved that he's a gamer. He's been able to go out there, create plays with his legs. And this Bengals defense isn't nearly as good as what they've shown last week against the Broncos. So I really, really like that over. But I have to give you a bonus one. I like the Kansas City Chiefs laying 9.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers probably had the most misleading box score of the week last week. The only reason why they won that game is because Tennessee had 4 turnovers, but Tennessee dominated them in yardage, 318 to 168. Yards per play, 4.1 to 3.7. Third downs, 44% to 18%. Rushing yards, 201 to 35. If the Titans don't struggle in the red zone, they dominate that game. I think the Chiefs come out. They've had a long week to get it together after Thursday night win, and I think they blow out the Steelers.
Baltimore, Cincy, over 44. KC, laying 9.5. Two bets of the week, my man. Last time you were on, I think we were still calling this segment Josh's Juice. Now we're calling it Long Shot or Lock. It's the same thing, just a different name. I give you a bet. Now you tell me if it is a long shot or a lock. It's a little bit better, right? Long shot or lock versus Josh's
Juice. I like it.
You like this one?
I like both of them. I like Josh's Juice because I like the sound of it. But long shot or lock is good either.
Thank you, Raheem. Most people made fun of Josh's Juice. Here's another one I got that I kind of like, although I think we're going to stick with long shot or lock probably. But cash or trash was suggested by a listener. What do you think of that one?
I like that. I like the cash or trash. I think that's the best one.
That's your favorite one?
That's my favorite one.
All right. I don't know if we're going to make the change permanently, but for today, we're going to call this segment Cash or Trash. All right, here we go. This is my bet for the week. We've actually, I should let you know, hit on three weeks straight, all Wong teasers in this section, which you and I have talked about extensively on this podcast previously. So I've got to throw another one out. I'm hoping for a month's worth of winners here. Let's see what we can do. As usual, two team, 6-point tease, getting it at DraftKings, minus 120. First up, I'm taking the Ravens. They're +2.5 in Cincy, so I'm moving them to +8.5. That means we're going through the 3 and the 7. Don't love the Ravens on the road here. Don't love that they lost to the Bengals pretty bad a couple of months back. However, the total for this one, 44.5, so we're well under that magic number of 49 for Wong teasers. The Ravens really need this one. They really need this one, and I like this team in a spot like that. Also, Lamar banged up, but like you said, I like Huntley. I think this kid's good. Not to mention the Ravens have lost 3 in a row, but they've lost those games by a combined 4 points, all 3 games combined. So we're getting 8.5. I trust this team to at least keep it close. The second leg, going with the Packers. They're laying 7.5 at home against the Browns. So we're moving them through the 7 and the 3 again. We're getting them at -1.5. Totals 45. So we're good there. The Browns decimated by injuries and COVID. Green Bay, however, humming along. Rodgers playing like an MVP. If you look at weighted DVOA, they're ranked 9th. Cleveland all the way back at 17th. I think they pull this one out. Now, I will be honest with you, Raheem. It's not my favorite Wong teaser. However, pickings were kind of slim this week. And when you've won 3 Wong teases in a row, you got to go for a 4th, right? So give it to me straight. I can handle it, Raheem. Let me know what you really think. Is this one cash or trash?
This is cash. I really like this one, and I wish I had thought of it myself. Look, the first leg of the first leg of the teaser is really, really good, because first things first, the Ravens have played, what did they play, 10 one-score games this year?
Yeah, something like that.
They played like 10 one-score games this year, and they just lost 3 one-straight games in a row. So this is probably going to be a one-score game divisional matchup. Huntley's been a gamer. I hope Huntley is playing more than Lamar is playing at this point, because I think Lamar has kind of struggled to get the offense going this season. I don't know what's going on with him, but I really like that one. And then when you look at the Packers right now, they're just rolling. And this Browns team, look, if Mullins is out there, if Baker is out there, I see no way that they don't win this game. So I like this one. This is a really good one.
Nice. Making my day, man. All right, let's wrap this one up with some quick hitters, which are actually semi-quick hitters, which are actually just take as long as you want to go. I just don't want to take too much of your time. last time you were on, You told an amazing story. It's one of my favorite stories that we've gotten during this podcast so far. You talked about how you were a DJ at the time in Philly, and you won some money betting against the Nuggets because they came to your club where you had a residency. You saw how hard they partied, and then they had like an early-ish game in Philly the next day. So you bet against them. You made some money. Can you hit us with another story? This is story time with Raheem from your time as a DJ.
Okay, so I used to DJ at this club called Vault, and we used to always have like a lot of celebrities, like big events. Like our opening night at Vault, it was in 2010, opened up, Jamie Foxx did the opening night. Next night, Puff did the opening night. So we just always had celebrities in there every Friday and Saturday. I was the resident DJ. Anyway, this one particular time, this is when I realized all you guys are fans of the NFL. Do not ever, ever, ever fight an NFL player. So one night, somebody stole my cell phone out the booth because the booth was just always like, it was one of those booths to where you kind of had some steps and you had to walk up into it, but it was a nice little size booth to where you have a ton of guys who just hang out, guys, girls. It was so many people in the booth at one time. But at one point, somebody stole my cell phone, Apple iPhone. And you guys know how valuable those are. Somebody steals it. Anyway, I told security. So the next Saturday, they just wouldn't let anybody into the booth. One of my friends was Raheem Brock, Indianapolis Colts, pass rusher. You guys might know him. He won a Super Bowl with the Colts. He used to play for the Seattle Seahawks. He was starting a record label at the time, and he wanted to give me some music, but the security guards didn't know him. And he's like trying to get into the booth. He's trying to give me some music so I can play his music, and they wouldn't let him up. And Raheem Brock literally takes this, like he's walking up anyway, and they're trying to stop him. And these security guards have got to be like 6'4", 6'5". It's two of them. Raheem Brock starts fighting the security guards. And I don't know if you guys can really see me, but I'm 5'6", 100, like on any day I could range from 128 pounds to 145. I'm small and I'm diminutive. I literally hide under the booth because I'm so scared that these big giant men are going to crush me. Raheem Brock beat the crap out of these two guys and threw them down the steps.
Big security guards.
Big two security guards. It looked like he was sacking a quarterback on third and long. And that's when I knew. I don't care how big you are, these NFL guys are just, they're just a different breed.
Fantastic story. I just looked it up. Raheem Brock is, according to his Wikipedia page, 6'4", 274. Very, very large man. What happens after he beats up the security guards? Does he get thrown out? Does he still hand you the music?
He just hands me the music and it's all good.
Well, that was it. They were just like, okay, you've just defeated us. You're just good.
Like, and he was a regular in the club. So it was just like, I don't know why they felt like they could take him. And he was my friend. So, but yeah, that's when I realized, you know what, these NFL, because these are big security guards. And it's just like, NFL guys are just different.
I just gave you a little applause again. That was exactly what I was hoping for, man. You've delivered yet again. This is a listener question. Eric emails, for a casual gambler who doesn't have the time or skill to make their own statistical model, what's the best way to identify early line value?
I think the best way to identify early line value, it differs sport by sport. But in the NFL, it's really great to be able to look at the look-ahead lines. These teams post look-ahead lines every single week. So I give you an example. It's week 16 right now. The look-ahead line for the Arizona Cardinals versus the Indianapolis Colts, that line was Arizona Cardinals -3.5. We're currently sitting at Colts. We're currently sitting at Arizona Cardinals -1. So a lot of the market is going to be betting on the Colts. I think you have 70% of the public all on the Colts. When I look at that line, I see Arizona -1. To me, that's short based on the original look ahead line that the odds makers put out. And a lot of that a lot of this current number has to do with the fact that the Arizona Cardinals got blown out by the Detroit Lions. So what you want to figure out is this current number really representative of who these teams are or what you saw last week?
Gotcha.
So they got blown out by the Lions, but these teams didn't really change too much. So I may find myself on Arizona, and I think the line is telling you this is Arizona or pass, because you're not really getting any value on the Colts. So in the NFL, you want to really look at those look-ahead lines. I think that'll really, really help you out. In the NBA, it's such a nightly sport. I think the best thing you can do to identify value is to identify situational spots. You want to look at back-to-backs. You want to look at 3 games and 4 nights. You want to look at that type of stuff. Motivational stuff, because I think that's big in the NBA. Last night, Memphis Grizzlies, they played Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City Thunder, what are they, 7, 8, 9-point underdogs? They won outright. And one of the reasons why they probably won outright was because the last time that they played, the Oklahoma City Thunder lost by 73 points. So you're looking at some of those motivational edges in the NBA.
So that in that example, then, you are betting on OKC the second the line comes out because you expect it to move.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Paul Woodley, too. A couple questions for you on this one. Number one, I'll throw this out there. This is. I'm almost embarrassed to admit this. I did win a bet on this. I took Paul. I parlayed Paul at like -220 to win, but I just wanted to get it close to even money. I parlayed it with like a Rudy Gobert alternate point over. I had him over like 11.5 points last week. I don't even remember who they played. It hit. So that's my contribution to this part of the discussion. What did you think of Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley to the second fight? And also, I really want to ask you about the Darren Williams, Frank Gore fight, which was ugly, but this is so in your wheelhouse, man. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but your three big sports, basketball, football, boxing, this is all three with those guys.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And look, Jake Paul right now, unless he fights a serious boxer, he's not going to lose. And that's no disrespect to Woodley. I know he has his MMA thing, but Jake Paul can punch, and you kind of got to respect him at that point. And like, people were looking at him like a joke. I don't think he's a joke. I think he's an amateur that's, you know, semi-serious, and you kind of got to take him serious. And look, when you look at boxing, a lot of the guys, when they first start out, they're not fighting any serious competition. So I'm not going to criticize Jake Paul for not doing the same. Like, you got to build guys up slowly. And Jake Paul has proven that if you get in the ring, he has some pop on him. So I like it. Like I'm enjoying it. He's entertaining. He has the social media thing going. He has YouTube thing going. And he's bringing more faces to the sport of boxing. And
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It sounds like you're almost willing to bet Jake Paul blindly in future fights as long as he's not going up against a real boxer.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Because he just has so much pop.
Interesting. Okay, what'd you think of Williams Gore?
I thought it was hilarious. I thought the first round, Williams came out and he looked like it was shocking because he's actually the bigger guy. And it looked like he was controlling Frank Gore with his jab. And then he got a little reckless at times. It was kind of a mess, but it was entertaining. But it was tough to watch at times. I mean, like Deron Williams pushes him at times as opposed to throwing punches. It was a little sloppy. Frank Gore didn't protect himself at all times. Deron Williams got the standing knockdown at one point. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
Did you bet it?
No, I didn't bet it.
Did you think either one of them was a good fighter? Would you call either a good fighter?
I think Williams has a little bit of potential. I mean, at least for what he was. But I think the thing that actually surprised me is that I thought it wasn't – I didn't know they were going to actually score. I thought it was kind of like just an exhibition to where there would be no winner. So when they announced the split decision win for Williams, it kind of shocked me.
Few more for you here. Just give me a yes or no on these. Will these Eastern Conference teams make the playoffs? Bulls, currently second in the East.
Yes. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Cavs, currently third.
Yes.
My Wizards, currently seventh.
I'm gonna say no.
I knew you were gonna say that. Hornets currently eighth.
Yes.
Hawks.
No. Oh, you said Hornets. Hornets. No.
Hawks 11th.
Yeah, Hawks are gonna make it.
They're gonna make it in, and Knicks 12th.
No.
Not gonna make it. Here are the five teams with the best chance of winning the Super Bowl right now, according to Football Outsiders. They just put this out. This is in order: KC, New England, Dallas, Tampa, Green Bay. Anything on that list surprise you?
New England. And the big reason why is just because Mac Jones really hasn't proven it yet. And I feel like this New England team can be passed on. And you saw that every time they play a good passing offense, you see that they can be passed on. Obviously, they've had some like really good luck. And some of that good luck was playing New England in bad weather, playing the Buffalo Bills in bad weather. But when you saw when they played Dallas, Dallas did whatever they wanted offensively. So I think if they don't get a home game, they're probably one and done in the playoffs.
If you're knocking New England out of the top five, who would you put in instead? The five teams I'd given you, I'll remind you: KC, New England, Dallas, Tampa, Green Bay.
I think the 49ers.
Interesting. Coming on recently here.
I think the 49ers are for real. I think the 49ers, the only weakness they have is they don't really have the corners, but they can run the ball. They can rush the passer. They have the linebackers. They have probably one of the best offensive coordinators / head coaches in Kyle Shanahan. They're a team that Wise Guy has been betting every single week. And I'm going to be honest with you. I said it on Twitter the other day. A lot of people disagree with me, but my guy, Matt Perot, you probably should interview him at one point too. He agreed with me. Like, the 49ers could probably beat the Packers.
Do you see any value in putting in like some sort of future on the Niners right now? I don't know if that's to win the Super Bowl or.
Yeah. I definitely think there's some value on them. I think the best teams are in the NFC. I think the NFC is by far the better conference. Now, obviously, Tampa Bay got a little weakened because they lost Chris Godwin out for the season. But I think between Tampa Bay, Green Bay, 49ers, I think one of those teams are probably going to come out of it. And then obviously you have Dallas. If Dallas can figure out their offensive issues that they've had recently, the defense has been rolling. So one of those four teams could possibly come out the conference and probably win this thing.
You are biased, by the way, on Dallas, just so our listeners.
Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan from Philadelphia.
right. So I just want to put that out there. Would you see any value? And I don't know what the odds are right now. You just made me think of it. But you know how you can normally bet like which conference will win the Super Bowl, NFC versus AFC. If that's close to even money, are you taking NFC there?
I'm taking NFC. I think the only team in the AFC that I think would cause anybody some problems is Kansas City. And that's because their defense has been rolling. And then obviously you got Mahomes and you got Andy Reid. You can score against anybody. But besides that, I think the NFC should be favored over pretty much anybody, no matter what the matchup is.
I like that one. I like your reasoning. I'm gonna take a look at what the odds are
for that. Yeah, like at FanDuel right now, NFC is -122.
So you would take that. You'd fire.
So yeah. So it's telling you pretty much the same thing I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
NFC is a stronger conference.
But you'd be comfortable with a -122.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable. But I actually want to think about it a little bit more, just because I would take it, just because anybody other than Kansas City, they're gonna be favorites. So I like that one.
Okay. All right. Last one I got for you, man. Big plans for Christmas? What are you doing?
Honestly, like, I never had a big family. So I'm kind of like, I mean, I have a sister, but I'm pretty much like only child. So a lot of times we exchange gifts and everything like that. And I'm kind of just sitting around watching basketball and football. So I'll probably be betting. I don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll get a girlfriend, I'll get a wife, and I'll be able to start my own tradition. But right now, it's kind of just me betting and watching sports.
Hey, man, that sounds good to me. That's what I'm going to be doing. So I do typically celebrate Christmas because my wife does. I'm Jewish, but she celebrates. So we have for years. However, unfortunately, this Christmas, she has to be out of town. It's a long story. Yeah. I'll see her the following week. Yeah. So one of my brothers is coming over. We are going to be watching NBA for all day long. I'm talking all day, probably drinking lots of bourbon and playing darts, which we love to do. You can see my dartboard here behind me in this.
That's amazing. Y'all celebrate Hanukkah too? Like, so you guys like alternate traditions? Like, how's that work?
Yeah, you know, Hanukkah's not as big of a deal, at least in my house. So we do some stuff. I'm currently my laptop is currently balanced on a laptop stand that my lovely wife gave me for Hanukkah. This was a Hanukkah present. But yeah, we celebrate both holidays. We do Jewish holidays, Christian holidays. We kind of do it all.
I like that. That's great. That's great to hear. I'm excited for you guys.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Well, hey, if you want to make the trip to DC, you are welcome to join and play some darts, watching basketball with us, man. That's what I will be doing all day long.
That's awesome.
The last one for you. Plug away. I know they keep you busy over at Action Network. What do you got? Plug, anything.
Okay, so like I normally do my projections piece on Wednesday for the NBA. I don't think I'm going to be doing a projections piece this week, but I am working on publishing my MVP model that we spoke about earlier today, with Kevin Durant actually being number one in my model. So I'm working on that today.
Nice.
Hopefully we get that up tomorrow. Obviously, I'm in this DraftKings contest, and right now I'm like 66th place. So I'm in the money. I'm a little disappointed because I had back-to-back 3 in 2 weeks. But I'm in the money for that. I'm obviously
give the full rundown. What is the contest? How many people are in it?
Okay, so the DraftKings. So basically, they have these football contests. They have one with DraftKings, Circa, and Westgate Super Contest. And you pick 5 NFL games a week. First place gets $1 million. I think in the DraftKings contest, there's 1,800 people. Circa contest, there's about 1,400 people. And the Super Contest, Westgate, it's about 1,800 people. So I'm 66. And the DraftKings, I'm actually in the money. Like right now, I'm probably slated to make about $5,000. They actually free wrote me. Like DraftKings actually gave me a free entry. And I actually put out videos with my DraftKings picks every week. It's on the actionnetwork.com. Last week, we got 7,000 views. We built this thing up from about 100 to 200 views a week to now we're getting about 6,000-7,000 views. So go on the Action Network and like YouTube page and check that out.
That's amazing. So basically, I just want to make this clear. Like you're a guy. People look to you for this kind of thing. So they're like, hey, we'll let you in for free. You can win money. Yeah. Just put out some videos.
Yeah. And it's I give out all my picks for free.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like I'm enjoying that. Circa, I'm in like 300 place out of 4,000 people. I just got to close out strong, maybe get into the money for that. Super contest, I'm in 102nd place out of 1,800 people. I close out strong for that. I get into the money. So we'll see what happens. There's 3 weeks left. Hopefully we cash on all of them.
Doing very well across the board. You know, we had Steve Fezzik on a couple of weeks ago, the only two-time winner of the Westgate. That was a fun one, man. He had all kinds of old Vegas stories. I love that.
Oh, yeah, he's a legend. I mean, you win the super contest twice, then it's a different ballgame.
Incredible, right? Well, Raheem, anything else you want to plug? Anything else you got going on?
Just look out for that MVP model tomorrow. You guys can check me out on Twitter. That's DJR to the Izzy. That's DJRTODAIZZA. At some point, I'm going to change my Twitter name. I've been trying to rebrand, but it's just tough because I got these names in hand, but there's so many accounts to just take them. So we'll rebrand. But check out my work at theactionnetwork.com, Raheem Palmer. Check out the Action Network's YouTube page. I'm always doing videos with picks. Obviously, those DraftKings videos come out every week. So thanks for having me on again. I'm appreciative.
Oh my God, dude. I cannot thank you enough. Like I said at the top, you are amazing. Really appreciate you coming through. Great pod, as always. I already know people are going to love this one, as they always do with you. You truly are a rambling and gambling first ballot Hall of Famer, my man. Merry Christmas. Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Y'all have a good one, y'all.
Thank you. There you have it, ladies and gents. We'll be back next Wednesday with our usual Back to Football, likely through the end of the season. As always, thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing, IG at Rambling and Gambling, and email ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Keep those questions coming via email or wherever else. We'll get them answered like we did today with Raheem. Otherwise, Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Enjoy the games. I love Christmas Day NBA. I'm very, very excited. Hopefully we'll win a little money at the same time. And like I usually tell you, have a great week.